Hello, listeners, and welcome back to Sandman Stories Presents. Today we have two more stories from the Shimla villages of Himachal Pradesh. The first is a sad story about Princess Surti being tricked and then being kidnapped and sold. Her story shows that even good people can have terrible things happen to them. The second story is much happier. It concerns the young couple of Sukiya and Raja Bunsi Lal, with Raja being the word for prince or king. Bunsi Lal was cursed by a witch who turned him into a snake. He and Sukiya will make a happy couple if only her stepmom and his mom get out of the way. Will there be a happy ending? Listen and find out. Okay, let's begin. The Princess Surti. Two sisters, the daughters of a Raja, were betrothed to two princes, the eldest to a poor man with few followers, the youngest to a rich man with many followers. About 8 days before their marriage, the elder called the younger and said, "Sister, we shall not be long together. Let me comb your hair for you beside the well." But in her heart, she was jealous of her sister Surti, and she had it in her mind to kill her, for she did not wish her to marry a rich man. Now in the well were some frogs. So the eldest sister said, "Sister, do you see these frogs? The name of the Raja you are about to marry is Dudu, or Frog, and you think that he is a man, but he is really a frog." This so alarmed Surti that she wrote at once to the Raja to say she would not marry him, and he replied that he accepted her letter and would marry elsewhere, but he was vexed at the letter and took good care to come in grand procession which passed beneath the windows of the princess. She did not know it was her former lover passing by, and asked which man in the procession was the Raja. Thus it was explained to her who he really was, and how her elder sister had deceived her. And as she caught sight of him, she foolishly thought he had come back for her. So she let herself down with ropes from her window, but only to fall into the hands of some thieves, who took her away and left her in the forest, where she was found by a dhobi, or washerman, who sold her to a dancing girl. This woman taught Surti to dance, and hearing that a Raja in the vicinity was entertaining a guest and giving a feast and a nach, the two set out. This Raja was entertaining Surti's father, although she did not know of it, and when he recognized his own daughter, who had been brought up in strict purdah, dancing in public like a common dancing girl, his wrath knew no bounds. He ordered her nose to be cut off forthwith, and he had her turned out of the kingdom. Thus do the innocent sometimes fall victims to the deceit of others, and thus do they follow in the footsteps of evil associates. The end. That was a sad one. Okay, but here is number two, hopefully much happier. The Snake Bride. Once there was a Raja by the name of Bunsi Lal, who was charmed by a witch, turned into a snake, and lived underground, but he constantly wished to go above ground and see the world. So one day he ran away and made himself a house above ground. Now at this time there was a girl living in that place, who had a very cruel stepmother, and this woman made her spend the whole day picking up sticks in the forest. It was there the snake met her and was struck with her beauty. And one day he said to her, "Sukiya, child of Dukiya, or the one who gives you pain, will you marry me?" But the girl was afraid, for who would marry a snake? She did not know that the snake was Raja Bunsi Lal, and that he was only a snake by day, but resumed his human form at night. So she went and told her stepmother all about it. And her stepmother, who did not care what became of the girl, said, "Tell him you will marry him if he fills your house with silver." This the girl told him, and he readily agreed. Next day, when her stepmother opened the door, she found her house filled with silver, and readily gave her consent to the marriage. So Sukiya became the snake's bride, and went to live in his house, where all was comfort and happiness for her. After some time, her stepmother thought she would go and find out whether the girl was still living. And when she arrived at the snake's house, she found that contrary to her expectations, Tsukio was both happy and prosperous. Now the stepmother knew the story of the enchantment of Rajabunsi Lal, and also that if he revealed his name, he would be obliged to return again to his former home underground. And she advised Tsukio to beg him to tell his name, and not to rest day or night until he had done so. When night came, Tsukio asked her husband to tell her his name, but he implored her not to, as it would bring bad luck to her. Yet she persisted in asking and would not be advised, though he turned himself into a snake and fled before her till he reached the riverside, where he again begged her to desist. But the foolish girl still would not listen, till he called out, "My name is Rajabunsi Lal," and in saying so he disappeared under the water, and she saw him no more. For days and days she wandered the streets and bazaars calling out, "Rajabunsi Lal! Rajabunsi Lal!" But he came not, and she was very unhappy. In the meantime, the snake had reached his own country, where arrangements were being made to marry him to another girl, and when his servants came to draw water from the well, they met Tsukio and told her of it. Now Tsukio still wore the ring which Rajabunsi Lal had given her, and she begged them to take it to him, which they did. And when his eyes fell upon it, he remembered Tsukio and all she must have suffered because of him. So he went back to the world determined to seek and find her, and then bring her to his own country. Tsukio was delighted to meet him again, and gladly followed him, but the snake's mother soon discovered her, and made up her mind to kill her without delay. So she had the room prepared full of scorpions and snakes, and all sorts of the deadly creeping things, and invited Tsukio to sleep there. This plot was discovered in time by Rajabunsi Lal, and he had the creatures all removed and the room swept clean and whitewashed. Thus, Tsukio escaped. But only for a time, for the snake's mother told her she was clever, indeed so clever that a test would be given to her to prove her cleverness, and if she failed to give proof of it, she would be put to death. The snake's mother then brought a quantity of mustard seed and strewed it upon the floor beside Tsukio, telling her to divide it into equal lots and carefully count each seed. The poor girl began to cry, for she felt this task to be beyond her power, and the snake said all the trouble had been caused through asking his name. But he knew some little birds who came when he called them by name, and they very soon divided the mustard seed, so once again Tsukio escaped. The next time she went out, it was to follow very miserably in the wedding procession of the snake. And his mother had arranged that Tsukio should have torches to carry on her head and in her two hands, so that when the wind blew towards her, she would be burnt to death. All happened as arranged, but when Tsukio cried out, "I am burning, I am burning," Rajabunsi Lal heard her and quickly ran to her rescue. Together they ran away and escaped to the upper world and found their former home, where they lived happily ever after. The end. Wow, I really needed a happy ending after the first one was so sad. I really felt bad for Princess Surti in the first story. There are a lot of people who can make your life miserable, and it's especially if you are a woman. In those times, it was just, ugh. But the second story brought me some hope, because even though the Raja was mistreated by his beloved, he found forgiveness and was able to get back with her in the end. So that made me smile. The podcast shout-out this week is to Giraffe's Eggs. L.M. Diani is a fellow teacher and storyteller, but she is also an author and podcaster in multiple languages. She tells stories from the continent of Africa, and especially ones that you'll probably have never heard before. So, if you like folk tales, and especially African stories, in English or in French, go and listen to her podcast. Again, that's Giraffe's Eggs. It's a pretty cool visual. And if you like it as much as I do, go and give her a 5-star rating on iTunes or Podchaser. And the listener shout-out is to Columbus, Ohio. You are 79% of my listeners from Ohio. Nicknamed Cap City, C-Bus, and the biggest small town in America, Columbus is the second largest city in the Midwest behind Chicago. The area has been lived in since ancient times by various peoples, including the Hopewell, Adena, and Fort Ancient people. Various earthwork mounds were built in the city in pre-Columbian times. The Miami, Wyandot, Shawnee, and Delaware people have all lived in the area at different times. Now it sits on the Scodio and Olentangy Rivers and is host to Ohio State University. And as I've found that geography and schools don't matter so much, go Buckeyes. Thank you, and good night.